Matthew chapter 17. Could have Mr. Faulkner in church this morning. Praise the Lord. But not you, Nate. Very good. They say the camera adds 10 pounds, so I'm glad he is here to see. Anyway, so Matthew chapter 17, Bible says, and after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into the high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. His face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as light. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for your opportunity to be able to open up your word. And Lord, I pray that you'd, Lord, you would use this message to meet our needs. God, I think of the song the choir sang, and God, as we come to you needy, it's good to know that we can walk away satisfied. Lord, help us to be open to your leading, ready to receive that which you have for us. Lord, help us now, in Jesus' name, amen. You know, it is often and truthfully said, the Lord knows where we've been. And I am thankful God is aware of my uprisings and where I've come from, and he knows how I think. He knows right where I'm at today. We've read the passages about, you know, when they were out in the boat and there the storm was going on. He knew right where they were. When he walked out into the midst of the sea, he knew exactly, you know how hard it would be to find a boat in the midst of the sea. He knew exactly right where they're at. And you, he knows where you've been, and he knows right where you are today. But in addition to that, he knows what's upcoming in your life. Yep. He knows what's next. He knows the next chapter. He knows the next circumstance. He knows the next storm. He knows the next trial. He knows the next temptation. He knows what's coming. And believe it or not, he's using today and yesterday to help you get ready for it. Matthew chapter 17 is a beautiful picture of that. The Lord takes Peter, James, and John, and he takes them on a hike. The Bible says, and after 6 days in chapter 17 and verse 1, after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart. I don't think there was a gondola. I don't think there was a helicopter. They had to walk up a high mountain. It doesn't tell us the name of the mountain. I was talking to Mr. Bowen. I said, hey, what do you think it is? And it doesn't say. I think that's on purpose. But he takes what we would consider the three maybe closest men in his life, Jesus, up into this mountain. The three closest to him. What do these three have in common? Look at Matthew chapter 4. I think it's interesting. They all had the same profession. Say, were they previously rock climbers? Maybe they were guides, and this is going to be a special time for them. No, quite the contrary. Didn't spend a lot of time on wedging their feet in rocks. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 18, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net in the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And the Bible says this about Peter and Andrew his brother, and they straightway left their nets and followed him. I often think of that scenario, and I know this is not our passage and our message here today, but there is a truth here about where these young men are coming from. As we read, we're going to continue on, but the amount of faith it took to just leave what they were doing and just follow. It's not like, hey, come work over here, I've got better benefits. Hey, come over here. The health care over here. You'll be able to retire in 20 years. It'll be better for your family. He just says, drop what you're doing and follow me. Hey, anybody that has ever done that for the Lord Jesus Christ is better off. Following Christ is always better than our way. and verse 21, and going on thence. So he has kind of like the little Pied Piper, right? He comes up to Peter and Andrew, and now he's got them following. And then who's next? And going on from thence, he saw two other brethren, James and son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called unto them, and they immediately left the ship. And the Bible says, and their father, and followed him. So Jesus, in Matthew chapter 17, says, I'm going to take Peter, I'm going to take James, and I'm going to take John, all of which who have given up on their earthly life to follow Christ. That's what they have in common. These were men of great commitment to Christ. Just prior, go to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, a verse that I feel like we just looked at recently. Matthew chapter 16, verse 16. And Simon Peter, look at verse 15, I'm sorry. And he saith unto them, but who say ye that I am? He's asking Peter, Peter, who do you think I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. What a proclamation. Jesus says, hey, no one told you that. God put that in your heart. There was something special about what he just announced. These are the three that are with Jesus. And Jesus says, hey, Peter, James, John, we're going to go on a hike. Hey, where are we going, Lord? We're going up that mountain. I like comfort. That's why I drive a Honda. It's old. It's got almost 200,000 miles on it, but I like comfort. I like air conditioning. I like heat in the winter, and I like cool in the summer. I like comfortable shoes. I like my routine. If someone just showed up at my house and said, hey, we're going to hike up a mountain, depending on the person, would really depend if I'm going to give up my plans to go do that. Jesus takes the three closest men in his life, Peter, James, and John, and he says, we're going to go hike up a mountain. It wasn't just one of them. He doesn't just take James and then comes back and comes gets Peter and comes gets John. No, he takes three. I want to encourage you, the great memories that you've had with friends. For me, the greatest times of my life have always been around the things of God. And what these three don't know is that they're about to see something and experience something that no man before, and it's going to be a very long time before anybody sees anything close to it again. But they just did this. Listen now. Just followed Christ. The best thing that a group of friends can do is follow Christ together. Because you have no idea where he's leading you. They thought they were going on a camping trip. They thought they were just getting a better view of the city. They thought, who knows what they thought. But he takes his three closest, and this is going to be, listen now, one of the greatest times of their entire life. They're about to see something that will forever change them and help them. They're about to climb up a mountain. It does not list the mountain by name. I think that's on purpose. Because we know the story here. Maybe you're not familiar with it. Jesus is going about to unveil himself and reveal his glory to them. Could you imagine if the mountain was maybe named? You know what would happen? The mountain would become special, not who was there. I just have thoughts, like, why not tell us the name? Was it Horeb? Was it Carmel? Was it Tabor? It doesn't tell us. So you know what that means? Say, oh, it's in there somewhere. The Lord doesn't want us to know. And we got to be satisfied with that. So what do we do know? The Bible says in Matthew chapter 17 and verse 1, and he bringeth them up into an high mountain apart. Again, I'm kind of comfort driven, and that doesn't sound great to me. Now, some of you adventuresome type, you hear that and go, oh yeah, that sounds great. For me? For the fishermen? That's not their comfort. That's not what they're familiar with. They're not scouts. They're not guides. You know, sometimes the Lord leads us in places that we just don't feel comfortable with on purpose. Why? Because we're very vulnerable in uncomfortable situations. A high mountain apart. I wonder if Peter's thinking, what happens if one of us trips up here? Do you know how far it is to the closest hospital? They didn't have medevacs back then. What are we going to do? Say John, he's always hungry. What's going to happen to John when he starts complaining? Takes him up into the high mountain, apart. Unnamed, surely we would say this is on purpose. It wasn't about the mountain, but who was there. And what does he do? He takes him apart, and the Bible says in parallel passages, know what they were doing up there? They were praying. Can I encourage you the value and the benefit of getting alone with the Lord apart and just praying? It's amazing what you can hear when you're not listening to other things. It's amazing what God can do around you when you're just focused on Him. It's good every once in a while to get apart. That's why we send our teenagers to teen camp. Our teenagers think it's because we despise them. We need a break from you. No, the benefit of teen camp is to get away from the devices, to get away from the screens, to get away from the job, to get away from the routine, and get apart a little bit. So much so that we send our juniors too. It's good for a... Hey, if it's good for teenagers and young people to get apart from their system for a little while, to hear the voice of God in their life, isn't it good for us? When was the last time you got apart with just you and God for a little bit? A little time of fasting, a little time of prayer. Listen, a little time of quietness. Hey, if you're not used to quietness, it'll drive you mad. I had an uncle, we would go and spend 2 or 3, maybe 4 days a summer with him. He lived in Buffalo. For my sister and I, it was a big time. It was a big trip. We went from Rochester to Buffalo. Buffalo, totally different world over there. And we would stay with my uncle, and the minute he would walk in the house, he would turn on the radio or the TV. Uncle Dan, why are you doing that? Got to have noise in the house. I don't like it quiet. You know, sometimes we live our life like that. Got to have noise. Got to constantly be stimulated. Hey, when was the last time you got up into the high mountain apart with God and spent some time in prayer? I don't know why I can't hear the voice of God. Maybe it's because you're not listening. Last summer, I found something at our house. I didn't know it was there. Well, I did know it was there, but I saw the value of it. It was our porch. I love it. We spend a lot of time on it. We're actually investing in our porch. We put lights on it. We got new chairs out there. Why? Because I like it out there. Every now and then, a motorcycle goes by. We always tease that it's Grandma Hartman on her motorcycle riding around. But for the most part, where we live, it's quiet. And it's amazing what you can hear when it's quiet. I was sitting there just the other day, and I was listening, and just listening. It was quiet. Hudson comes out, he's, hey, Dad, shh. What? Just listening. Listening, you're quiet. Hear the birds over here. I said, listen to that. Man, I had this beautiful song. he went in, and it wasn't too long after I hear this kind of like a, it sounded like an enormous bee. And I look over to the side, and at our hummingbird feeder was a hummingbird. It's amazing what you can hear when it's quiet. It's amazing who you can hear when you shut out some of the noise of the world. Jesus takes Peter and James and John, and he takes them way up high in the mountain apart to pray. It's good to have some time with the Lord. It's good to be separated a bit, apart with the Lord. Something's about to happen. Again, can we follow this? Here they are, they're on top of the mountain, praying as best friends. I don't think they had bracelets or, you know, the token, you know, BFF. You know, John had one and Peter had another and James. And look, I got you guys this. And, you know, I don't think they had to, like, are we still friends today? I don't think they had to do that. Are you coming to my party? Like, I don't think they did that. Are you mad at me, John? None of that. But could you imagine the three closest people with Jesus apart, alone, how sweet that must have been. It gets better. Mark chapter 9. Keep your hand in Matthew 17. We'll come back to it. Mark chapter 9. This story is found in Matthew chapter 17, Mark chapter 9, and Luke chapter 9. Mark chapter 9, it begins the chapter, but I want to draw it down to our verse 2, and after 6 days, Jesus taketh with him Peter and James and John and leadeth them up into a high mountain apart by themselves. And the Bible says this, and he was transfigured before them. Say, what did he become, like a goat? What figure did he become? He simply removed the veil of humanity for a moment. Say, what'd that look like? I read a verse in Mark chapter 3, and I feel like he's doing his best to describe it, but follow me with the words. As I was studying this, I was showing people, I'm like, does that just sound strange? Look at this, Mark chapter 9 and verse 3. What does the glory of God look like? And his raiment became shining, exceeding white as snow. Look at this next phrase. So as no fuller on earth can white them. I read that and I go, I think my Bible has a typo. I think the editor somehow swapped words or added. I'm like, what is this even saying? So as no fuller on earth can white them. A fuller is one who gathers material. The whiteness and the glory that the Lord shows to these three, you could not create that on this earth. The Bible says in Luke chapter 9, he was glistening. What does that mean? He was so bright, he sparkled. Peter, James, John, former fishermen that made a commitment and followed Christ with their life, are becoming fishers of men. And God leads them and he brings them high up into a mountain apart, and there they are praying. Imagine a prayer meeting with those four. And Jesus turns and he removes the veil of his humanity, and for a moment you see his glory. And he was so bright that no human could replicate the brightness thereof. So bright, he glistened. Look at Revelation chapter 1. See, I'd love to see that. You will one day. Revelation chapter 1. in verse 12. And I turned to see the voice of him that spake, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, Revelation 1:13 now. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about with the paps, with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, it says, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. This is the same John that was there some 60 years ago. And he sees it and he goes, oh, I've seen this before. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. His eyes were as a flame of fire. Mr. Bauman and I were talking just a little bit this morning about that glycerin. Ever drive and the snow is so light, so fine. It almost looks like it's iridescent. It glistens. That's what it's talking about here. His feet like unto fine brass as they burned in a furnace, and his voice is the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. That's what he looked like. That's what it looked like at the top of the mount that day. The glorified Christ who transferred from humility to glory. How amazing must that have been? Three former fishermen go for a little hike up a mountain. Jesus is there. They're praying. They're looking at this going, this is great. This is beautiful. This is, look at the view that we have. This is, and they're talking to God the Father and listening to Jesus pray. All of a sudden, Jesus reveals himself. This is amazing. How could it get any better? Luke chapter 9. You got your best friends. You're apart from the world. We know Peter had a mother-in-law away from her. Camping. Hiking, saw the glory of Christ. Luke chapter 9 and verse 30. Look at verse 29. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white, and here it is, and glistering. And then two more people show up. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias. Who is Elijah? There, three best friends, Jesus, whom they love, on a camping trip, on the mountain, apart from the world, praying. Jesus in his glory revealed, and then Moses shows up. And Elijah. Just when it couldn't get any better. What are they talking about? Verse 31. Who appeared in glory? Poor Peter, James, and John. They're the only ones without the glory. Jesus glorified. Elijah glorified. Moses glorified. Who appeared in glory and spake. Look at this now. Because this is the key of our message. Who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. There the adults are sitting at the table talking, and Peter and John and James are sitting at the kids' table just listening to the conversation. And Jesus is talking with Moses. And Jesus is talking with Elijah about what's about to happen in the very near future. And Jesus, in his glory, is talking about his humanity and death. To which I say, the Lord knows what's coming and knows what you will need to get through it. And he's using moments to prepare you for that. He's using this time to help them because in approximately less than a year, Jesus is going to die. And they're going to need some sort of strength, something to help them get through. And once you see something like this, you'll never forget that. Moses and Elijah speak of his upcoming death, who are also glorified. In Mark chapter 9, it says this. Listen to this verse. Just Mark chapter 9, verse 4. It says, "And there appeared unto them Elias and Moses, and they were talking with Jesus." Could you imagine for Peter, James, and John watching this? Moses, the writer of the law. Elijah, which some would say the greatest prophet of the Old Testament. And there they are, just talking with Jesus. How could it get any better? Matthew chapter 17. Ever not know what to do? Children are like this. Children have a birthday party or something of that sort, and they're so excited they don't know what to do, and they just run around screaming in circles. And we look at them and go, "Stop that! Behave yourself! Control yourself!" And we're trying to do that. I feel like that's Peter. Peter's taking it all in. He's out for a hike with his best friends. They get apart. They're up praying alone with the Father, or alone with Christ. He reveals himself in all of his glory. Moses and Elijah show up, and Peter's like, "Ah!" He just runs around screaming. Did he really do that? No, but he felt like he had to do something. Look at verse 4. "And answered Peter and said, Jesus, Lord, it's good for us to be here," he says. The understatement of a lifetime. Moses, Elijah, the glorified Christ. And Peter's like, "I'm glad I came on this trip. I don't want to forget this. Can I make some tabernacles? If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles. One for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias." Ever get so overwhelmed that you just don't know what to do? I just got to do something. Maybe it's stressful at the house and, tensions are high. And all of a sudden, mom goes over and she starts doing dishes. It's like, out of all the things that are going on right now, why are you doing, "I just got to do something." Vacuuming. Kids are crying in the room. The car is up on blocks and mom's vacuuming. The glorified Christ, Moses and Elijah, are standing there talking. And Peter's like, "Can I make an altar?" "No, Peter, how about you just sit back and just take it all in?" Said it was good for them to be here. Yeah, absolutely. There's some places that aren't good to be. Maybe you've found yourself in those places, a place where sin is taking place, a place where gossip and criticism is. But there's some good places to be. I'm not putting Walker Bible Baptist Church to the same level as the Mount of Transfiguration. But can I say it's good to be here? A place where the Lord is being worshipped. A place where the Lord speaks to your heart. Opens your eyes to the Scriptures. There's been times when, hey, it's time to go. It's time to go on the hike. Only to find the glorified Christ there. "I'm so glad I went." I encourage you to be where the Lord is at. Thankfully, we don't have a lock on the market. This is not the only place that the Lord Jesus Christ meets with people. When you have those moments, remember, we talked about a memorial a few weeks ago, and don't want to forget that. Peter was overwhelmed by it all. When God is moving in your heart, can I encourage you? Just listen. Just take it in. Don't try and make it into more of what it is. How could it get any better? You got your best friends, you're apart from the world, you're praying the glorified Christ, Moses and Elijah. For the Jew, could it be any better? Matthew chapter 17. Verse 5. The Bible says, while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. Do you see the wording of that? A bright cloud overshadowed them. Say, what does that look like? I don't know. Probably similar to glycerin. Behold, the voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Best friends, apart, away, praying, glorified Christ, Moses, Elijah, and now the audible voice of the Father. How do you not just split in two? What do you do when that all happens? And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were sore afraid. It reminds me of Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah sees a bit of the Father. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. When Isaiah saw the Father on his throne, he said, I am undone. The audible voice of the Father speaks and says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And they drop to the ground. It will actually take the touch of Christ himself to raise them up. Verse 7, and Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and be not afraid. Unbelievable. Best friends apart, praying, glorified Christ, Moses, Elijah, and now the audible voice of God himself. Why would God? I read this passage and I thought, why? Why did he do that? Why would he take Peter, James, and John away? What was the point of this whole thing? Well, the point of this whole thing is that these three are going to be asked much of them. And they're going to need something. And the Lord knows what's coming. When was the last time that you were smitten by the movement of God? Can you see his holiness? Can you see his glory? Can you see his majesty? Why the mount? What was the purpose? His death was coming, that's why. God was preparing these three for things to come. And now look at your own life and go, if that's true, if God knows right where I'm at and right where I've been, then he knows where I'm going. What is he preparing me for now? Because things are going really well right now. Hold on. What is God preparing you for? Turn with me to 1 Peter. This will be the last verse we look at. No, 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. And verse 16. 2 Peter 1:16 says, for we have not followed cunning devised fables when we have made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says this, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. This is over 30 years after the Mount of Transfiguration. For we received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him with the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. 30 some years later, he's still talking about that event. He knew that Peter was going to need something special. He used him. We read through the first book of part of Acts. We read what John goes through. They were going to need something special. Hey, when the Lord shows up in your life, consider it preparation for something special. They come down. Can you imagine? They come down. Hey, where were you guys? Well, went on a little hike. Jesus turned into snow. Moses showed up. Did I mention Elijah? Elijah was there. The audible voice of God. You know, just normal looking. Because he was preparing them for something. I want you to look at your own life and consider that God knows right where you're at, right where you've been, but he also knows where you're going, and he's preparing you for something. We all have a mount of transfiguration somewhere throughout our life where God was so real you can almost touch him. In those times, I dare say, he didn't take him up to that mountain very often or ever again. But it was enough to carry them through, so much so that John recognizes him 60 years later in his glory. Peter, speaking of it 30 plus years later, it was so impactful. See, when the Lord meets with you, there's no substitute. So what has the Lord showed you? What is the Lord doing in your life? When was the last time you were invited up on the mount? And the Lord spoke to you and strengthened you and showed you things and spoke to you through his word. Think, oh, it's because I'm better. He's preparing you for something. This is quite the Matthew chapter 17. I bet they would have liked to live up there. But the reality of it is, in Matthew chapter 17 and verse 8, after all of that happens, boom, 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 boom. Jesus says, hey, don't be afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. Everything was back to how it was. They were going to go on and live their life with this information, this tool, this power in their hand. Not that they could call down the glory of God. Not that they could produce Elijah and Moses at the moment. But they saw how it all ends. They got to see the glory of God. And that would help them. In your life, in my life, we've seen the Lord work in our life. So much so, you could not persuade me any other way. Why? Because I've seen the workings of God. I've heard him talk to my heart. If you've not experienced that, can I ask you, when was the last time you got alone with the Lord? They've seen miracles. Not one time in Peter do I say, do I read, hey, let me tell you about the time that we fed 5,000 people with, nobody talks about this right here. A personal meeting with God in his fullness. I encourage you to have some time where you get alone and apart up into the high mountain, just you and the Lord, and listen carefully to what it is that he's telling you. Let's all stand.